It is October 2nd. One wild card game is in the books, and one is about to get going tonight. Let's talk all about them. What's going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us for another episode of Talking Baseball on this fine Wednesday morning, recording at 10 o'clock, getting our bearings going. It's 8 o'clock for Jake, who is in Denver. This episode of Talking Baseball is sponsored by a bunch of great people: Raymond Torres, Scott Siebert, Jules Hales. Always like to name Jules. Not sure why. Benjamin Slate. Ben Slate. That's a power name. Mr. Slate. Wow. Mr. Slate is like a bad guy in a comic book. That's crazy. Connor Armheim, old friend. And then Istanfil. No way I got that right, but I tried my hardest and I did my best. And those are our most recent Patreon sponsors. They get to watch live as we do these and maybe chat with us in the chat if they would like to. And they also get a chance to win a jersey each month. Jake, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, James. I'm doing well. Good to see your smiling face. It's a great night for baseball. For our Milwaukee fans and listeners, I'm sorry. Welcome to the wild card.
There's no way they're listening.
And for, yeah, that's actually a great call. So, all right, go screw you, Milwaukee. Tune in. No. And for our Nationals fans that are listening, sorry you had to endure 8 innings of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's the Nationals fans didn't really have a fun night.
They almost got it worse than the Brewers. The Brewers was kind of a Band-Aid. They had their guy in the situation, and they had to lead the whole game, and then it was the rug got taken out from under them.
Man, it was crazy. What was your situation watching the game? You went to a bar?
So yesterday I made a promise to the listeners that I would have a blackout game. I wasn't actually going to blackout on
it. I thought
Tuesday
you were going to go live and do it.
I was live on what? Like, that was my problem.
Just be active, like.
I mean, like, I was live on Twitter. I was going the whole night, but yeah, I didn't really have the forum for that. But yeah, it was a good time. And Jim, leading up to the game, and I don't know if we want to. I guess we could dive not fully into it, but leading up to the game, because you and I had talked earlier that day, and we both kind of landed on the same page where it's better for baseball if the Nationals win this game. They are going to be a really tough out in the playoffs if they won that game, which they did. And the Brewers, yeah, they were a fun story, and they've been fighting hard, and they're pesky, and you know, no Yelich, obviously. The closer I got to game time, I was rooting Brew Crew, man. I was feeling it. I was like, yeah, let's pass the torch. You know, the Nats, because what got me was Nats fans were thinking the same thing. Nats fans were rubbing their hands going, we win this. I think we're looking good. And I just liked the Brewers mentality. And then I was going to link up with, because I was going to drink during this game. So I linked up with our friend Jeff, who is a Brewers fan. So then it felt like a perfect storm. We went to a bar called Badgers, a big Wisconsin sports bar in Denver. And, man, it was just awesome. The intensity of every pitch, when the yes man hits that home run, it's just like, whoa, we are in it now. So, yeah, it was awesome until the end. And I snuck out of Badgers pretty quick. But it was a great, great baseball game. How'd the game go for you, James?
I mean, it was pretty good. I was just sitting here enjoying it. Twitter was down, so I couldn't post GIFs or videos. That was pretty frustrating.
Right.
For a while, it took me a while to realize it was down for everyone, even like MLB. Bad timing, Twitter.
Come on, Twitter. Baseball needs this.
I don't know why, because TBS was being ruthless. They were hunting down the most miserable fans.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
like, just ruthless. I mean, I had to share them. I was obligated to because they're hilarious, and I felt for them. I felt for Nationals fans. People thought I was making fun of them. I was like, no, I've been there. 2017 wildcard game. I've been through all these emotions. The release of winning is amazing. For Brewers fans, when they open up 3-0 in the second inning, like, that release is amazing. Wildcard game's a motherfucker, man. No one wins. You may get to move on, but you didn't, like, win the day.
As a fan of one of those two teams, it's miserable. From the outside, I enjoyed it heavily.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
It's perfect. A lot of people complain because it's crazy to have a 160 season to come down to one game, but it is the best way to start the postseason. Just game seven intensity right away. And for casual fans, it's like, whoa, wait, what? This is insane.
Yeah, and I will say this, one of the fun parts of bopping around a little bit last night was getting, I did get some secondary fan reactions and stuff, and I had one moment that I liked a lot. There was a person at the bar, they turned to the person they were with at the bar, and they clearly were there for them. The person came in all sorts of Milwaukee garb. The other person was clearly just at a bar looking at screens. And during the Soto at-bat, you saw the light bulb go off over their head, and they turned to their friend, and they go, so wait, this is kind of like guy versus guy deciding the game? And they were like, yeah. So I felt bad for the person who had to answer because their heartstrings were on the line. And then they were like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I was like, all right, we got a baseball light bulb going off. I love that. And then I heard another guy that was like, oh, they played too many games. And I was like, hold me back, Jeff. Hold me back.
What'd you think of the actual gameplay? I mean, Scherzer came out and he didn't really have duty. Like, I mean, he didn't have his A-plus stuff. His B stuff is still rather good, but he was missing his fastball. There were some pitches he was just straight yanking. And I loved, dude, this is going to sound so crazy, but I put in my notes, like, what a leadoff at bat by Trent Grisham to take the walk. Couple close pitches low. Scherzer, first playoff bat. Like, big moment for the rookie. We talked about this, the rookie nerves. And I was like, oh, damn, he came, overcame him, got the walk. We joked about how a walk is a rally in Joe's McFly's quote, walk is a rally in the playoffs. And then because Scherzer was wild, and then fell behind 1-0 to Grandal. Did he fall behind 1-0?
In my head, it was the first pitch.
Yeah, first pitch fastball. So because Scherzer walked Grisham, Grandal's like, well, I bet he's coming with a strike because he doesn't want to fall behind in the count again. And just bam, what a sucker punch for Nationals fans right away. And then what, the next inning Thames got, is it Thames? I don't know what it is.
Thames clipped him.
We pronounced like every Brewer's name wrong last episode.
Yeah. We're, if you're new, hey, thank you. Leave a 5-star. Maybe you like it. And yeah, we're not a names podcast. We're going to get it wrong. It might be a Thames thing. I thought it was Thames, but I think it's tough to say. You'll hear us pronounce it every single way the rest of this episode.
His home run was pretty impressive because it was like curveball slider for strike one, but he missed, but that's what Scherzer threw. And then he tried to bring the curveball back in, like behind in the count. He didn't go fastball because I thought he'd go fastball and he'd be sitting fastball again, just like Grandal. But no, he got the slider. Thames, being told it's Thames. It's great.
And you're right. It wasn't a terrible off-speed pitch. He hit a nice off-speed pitch off Scherzer. And I also did hear this at the bar that had to get me held back. I heard the baseball players aren't athletes thing. Marcus Thames, whoo, that dude is roped up. Everyone was tagging me on Twitter like, whoa, Jakey Thames. And I was like, well, come on guys, let's enjoy the game.
Is the wild card game, are these on Baseball Reference yet?
I'm looking at the ESPN box score. I did, Jim, I don't know if you want it or not. I did write a burn.
You did?
I did.
This is the Talking Baseball crew doesn't know about Burns. They are a Talking Yanks staple. It's a little recap of the game. Well, yeah, we should have went into this right away. Here, let me get the music up. All right, Jake, burn the wild card game for us. On your mark, get set. Burn.
Win or go home in the nation's capital as the beer makers face the Nats with Mad Max Scherzer on the mound. And could Milwaukee would rough him up as they sent Brandon to the mound? Everyone in D.C. has their yes men. Yasmani Grandal, a two-run yacker to right. The crowd is stunned. Welcome to the wild card, D.C. 2-0 Nats. Scratch that, 3-0, as they can't tame Marcus. Oh, he big strong. Washington would have to turn things around quick. Turn around. Trey's homer just made it a little bit closer, but the Nats still need more runs. 3-1 after 3. Scherzer settled in and passed it to Strasburg, who got out of a big, big double play in the 6th. And mama, now here comes that man. Haterade as Josh comes in for the Brewers. And oh no, we've got some action. Hit by pitch. Ryan Zimmerman, the old Nats legend. He breaks his bat, shatters the single. Rendon walks. Hater didn't want him. And Jim, you probably didn't know this. The kid is only 20 years old. Juan Soto lines one to right. One run will score. Grisham with the oh no. And it's like a nightmare book by John Gresham. The ball goes off his glove. 3 runs will score. Nats win just like that. Hudson with the save. Washington advances.
Damn, you got a John Grisham reference in there.
You like that?
Yeah, I like some of his books. I went through a big phase.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, my mom and sister went through the Grisham phase. I never read a single one.
Well, you've read Mr. Popper's Penguins, and that's it.
It's a good book. Gotta read it.
Dude, it was a good game. That was a good burn. Makes me remember how fun this game was.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Were you shocked how long they rode Scherzer? Because he didn't look good. When he got into trouble in the 4th inning, I was like, why is he still out there? He's straight yanking fastballs.
And yeah, they stuck to their guns, and that did surprise me, Jim. And I guess they had to make a conscious decision before the game, right? They had to go into this game saying, we're going to ride Max. Like, we're not going to treat him. We're not going to treat him as Brandon Woodruff. We kept calling him Bob Woodruff, the old reporter. We're not going to treat him like Brandon Woodruff, who looked great, by the way. But if Woodruff got into trouble in the 2nd inning, say, they would have pulled the plug because that's how Milwaukee operates. The Nats made a conscious decision that they were going to go Scherzer to Strasburg to essentially try to complete the game. I was a little surprised they went to Hudson, but Hudson ended up looking great. Left Doolittle in the pen. I thought that might become a controversy. They left their neck out there a little bit if Doolittle didn't get a chance to come in. But Hudson looked good. And yeah, man, Scherzer, they decided to let him go, and it kind of paid off. He settled in a little bit. The crowd got behind Scherzer.
The 5th inning is what I meant, sorry. When he walked Shaw, I was like, this bad.
That was a jaw-dropping moment because Shaw has been so awful this season that Scherzer walked him. And that was an overlying kind of theme of this game where Travis Shaw draws a big walk against Scherzer and you're like, what? He had one of the worst like seasons off of a 30-homer season ever. How good did Drew Pomeranz look? What?
Dude, the Brewers had a strategy. I wonder if the Dodgers had this in mind already or if they adopt it now to attack the Nationals with high heat. Like Woodruff came out fucking looking amazing.
Woodruff looked like Strasburg.
Yeah, it was drawn. He looked like Lance Lynn in his prime, just high fastballs.
Yeah.
Did you see his pitch mix at one point? When he was 26 pitches in, 22 of them were fastballs, 2 sliders, 2 change, something like that. It was definitely 22 of 26 pitches were fastballs. They were gearing up. And then when Pomeranz came in, his at-bat versus, I think, Juan Soto was high fastball, high changeup to get the strikeout, and was like, this is their strategy, I guess. I wonder if as the Nats move on, the Dodgers pick up that same thing with just high heat.
And I mean, it's been a little bit of the evolution of baseball this season with the looping swings. I feel like even 2 years ago, Jim, that the low and away slider felt like it was every other pitch. I mean, the Lance McCullers game, didn't he throw 17 sliders in a row or whatever the number ended up landing at?
We're going to see a little bit of that second half of this show.
We are with the later game, but there's definitely been a transition in baseball that I think the best pitch in baseball right now is an up and in fastball. There's not many guys that can handle it. The guys that can are the guys that were in the running for the batting title. DJ LeMahieu, Michael Brantley, guys like that. They feasted on them because they just slapped them the other way for a single or double where these power hitters trying to hit home runs couldn't touch them.
Let's get to the eighth inning, the fall apart yes. inning. There's a lot to discuss, and then the second half of the show will be the AL wildcard preview. So, Hader's in.
Yeah.
They're asking him to get two innings. And here's where Hader looked, even with the error and the hit by pitch, Hader wasn't getting you two innings in this game. It just didn't look like he could. But he strikes out Victor Robles to lead it off. And you're like, all right, two outs to go. Move on to the next inning. Then Michael Taylor with a controversial hit by pitch. I'm sure Brewers fans are still very upset by this. I haven't reached out into the Brewers fans' lives, but it's pretty close. They go to replay.
What are your thoughts? Like, open thoughts on it.
When you go to replay and you slow it down that much and it's still not, I still can't say 100% that hit the bat first. What do we do? Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Hands up? Like, you need, like, you know, technology you need there is kind of crazy. They called it a hit by pitch. They probably go by sound. It definitely hit his hand. Did it hit the bat like a smidge, like a slight second earlier? Maybe, but I think if you're like, no, it definitely, I think you're just throwing down to throw down. You don't definitely know a thing.
If you have a definite stance, you're a fan of one of the teams, or you had money on the game. That's the only tweener. Because I mean, to
or
me,
you operate it was, by definites. Like some people just operate like they can't understand.
Right. I mean, it was at the same time. And again, this I started writing one of my, but it kind of came off snooty. But it's my whole thing. If you're a baseball fan and you just rip on umpires all the time, go take the umpire test. Read the book.
It's hard.
Because that's the kind of crap that happens in this game that it's like, what? Okay, hit by pitch and it hits the hand and the bat at the same time. And action. You make that decision on a national stage. That's insane. So I don't know. It kind of comes back to what's the logical thing. And it's like, it hit his hand in the bat. I think that's a hit by pitch. I think the call's kind of right, but
yeah. So the Nationals kind of had a good pinch hitting strategy here. So they had Zimmerman in the on deck circle when Robles was up. He strikes out. So I'm guessing their thinking is, okay, we don't, if Victor Robles got on, okay, let's put in, you know, more of a power hitter or whatever, but he didn't. So they switched to pinch hitter. And they go to Michael Taylor. I'm guessing they want speed on the bases or something. Or, you know, so he gets hit by pitch. Trey Turner strikes out. Now there's two outs, man on first. And Zimmerman takes the, like, 97 fastball inside, breaks his bat, total bloop shot. Great base running by Taylor to go first to third on it. And I don't know if you watched the TBS after show. I doubt you did if you were at the bar and stuff, but Sheffield, Gary Sheffield and someone else.
Him and Rollins were brawling. I did watch this.
They were going back and forth forever on if Kane should have thrown to third to get Michael Taylor out. In my breakdown, I paused it. He could have had him. And it's a really good debate about a really small aspect of baseball because, like,
yeah,
I think casual fans that were tuning in the TBS are like, what are they talking about? Or maybe they were into it. Basically, Zimmerman the tying run. So he's really all that matters. So keeping him at first is more important than going for that out at third. Because if you go to third to get that out and you don't, Zimmerman can easily trail to second, and now you got him on second base. I mean, so at that moment, it's an interesting call. Like, if he gunned it to third and got the out, that would have been the best case. But there is a lot of logic that says don't let that runner on first get to second.
Yeah, and I right now my brain's spinning on it because I did see them going at it, and it's kind of fun. Knock yourself out, guys. But there's so many things in play here because it's okay. Can Kane get him if he could have? Yeah, I mean, that would have been unbelievable. The stadium would have erupted, and it would be the stadium would have went silent, and it'd be a play known forever for Milwaukee fans. On the other side of it, I guess where I think I lean throw the ball, and maybe this is a little being able to look back, but Rendon was coming up. And with how good Hader is versus lefties, in my head, it seems like Rendon was going to get walked anyways. Hader was attacking him to a degree, and then he totally wasn't. So I don't know. I guess with that in mind, like, you want Hader versus Soto. You
Kane
want
doesn't
one of the
have
best
all that
left
in his head, though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's how crazy this is, and that's how the depths of baseball go. But yeah, it's impossible for Lorenzo Cain to be thinking of that on the fly, Josh Hader's next approach against Rendon. Yet at the same time, you should kind of know who's coming up because that does change the approach a little bit. I think this debate, you could go in circles all day.
I think it's interesting. It's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, he doesn't throw to third. That means it's first and third. They pinch run for Zimmerman. Rendon gets walked. 3-2 pitch goes to 3-2. Walk him. Bases loaded. Two outs. Juan Soto versus Josh Hader. A single ties the game. And this is the game. This at bat. When you can boil down a game to one at bat, that's fucking awesome. 1-1 count. Soto turns on a fastball. Grisham misplays it, which allows Rendon to score from first. To take the lead, Hudson comes in, gets three outs, and that's the ball game, Jake, just like fucking that.
And that's what a couple things, because we went through, there's so much at the end of this game. A, Ryan Zimmerman, I mean, the pride of the Nationals organization, he has like every Nationals team record. He sits on the bench before the game because Howie Kendrick has been playing so well. He comes out, he pinch hits first Hader, and just like, there's something beautiful about a shattered bat single. And he, it's like the definition of survival as a hitter. Like, that's the definition of, I will do anything to get this hit, and Zimmerman does it. And then Soto, man, I mean, the kid, and he's just special. And I tweeted it right before his at bat. I just said, be special, dude, and he is. And everyone was tweeting out the lefty numbers against Hader. It's a game of odds and statistics, but guess what? That's why we love it, because stuff like that happens. It's incredible. And yeah, Jim, we kind of breezed over it in the ninth. Hudson comes in. He gets Thames. Lorenzo Cain singles. Lorenzo Cain gets on base, and he's a threat. Arcia fouls out, and then they have Gamble, and this is where I didn't know enough about the Washington bullpen, because Gamble's a lefty, he's not a major threat, but he's a solid ball player, and Doolittle's loose. I was sitting there like, hey, if Gamble clips Hudson here, are the Nationals going to get chewed out for not going to Doolittle? Because that would have been lefty on lefty.
I don't know. I think Gamble's as much as a threat. You got to trust your dudes there.
Yeah.
The Orlando Arcia foul out on the first pitch of the at-bat.
Crushing.
That would drive me fucking insane if I was a fan.
Crushing. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking where that pitch was. The pitch was middle-middle. That's such a baseball mind fuck. Because if Arcia drives that ball into the gap, you say, wow, Arcia was up there. his first pitch, he wasn't taken. He drives it, and then he fouls up, and you're like, what are you doing? See a pitch, man.
See a pitch. Yeah. How bad do you feel for Grisham? Last topic before we bounce out of this one.
I obviously feel bad. This is a you and me thing that we now share with the world, Jimmy. But you know that playing the outfield is pretty near and dear to my heart, more so center field. But I used to play outfield like a recluse back in the day, probably still would, and break everything for a second. And I mean, he's a rookie. He's a kid. He's trying to get everything he can into a throw home to try to make a heroic play. And it takes kind of a funny hop and goes off his glove. He's the dude that's out there for Yelich.
I don't even think it went off his glove. He straight up missed it.
He nicked it. He nicked it. It's excruciating. It's excruciating. And I think the biggest thing for him is he is a pretty big-time prospect. He was a top 100 prospect. He came up and he was solid for the Nats. And I don't know. There's two things you could do after something like that. You just
he straight up just misses it.
You never make contact with a baseball again, and you're that's the end of your baseball career, or you hunker down and you grind and you grind and you grind. And I think he's a young kid with a lot of potential. Unfortunately, I think this will make him better in the long run, but it sucks. It's something you'll never forget.
He was trying to, like, come around the ball so that where he reached it, he was going to third base or second base, you know? So, like, he didn't run right at the ball. And the ball, I think, was faster than he went because it just went to his right as he was trying to do a little, like, peel. And just straight up, it goes right under his glove. It's pretty brutal.
He nicked it. I'm watching it right now.
I mean...
tweeted us. Did Grisham clip that ball? At John Boy at Talking Jake.
Yeah, I'm going frame by frame. I mean, if he clipped it, it's not like it hit his... he missed it. I mean, maybe like a centimeter of clip, but...
yeah,
I don't
that's
even
clipping
that.
It.
Well, I mean, it's a flat-out whiff.
He didn't get the ball. Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
He didn't get it. I think he missed it altogether.
But I think if he doesn't clip it, I think it would have rolled to the wall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it rolls pretty far. It's bad play. That sucks. I loved
how
pumped up
Soto
was, even though he got thrown out.
Oh, that was awesome. Soto, I've never seen someone celebrating so much as they're about to be tagged out. That
was
pretty cool.
He was celebrating before he got tagged out.
Yeah, I know.
But that's a strategy in baseball.
Yeah.
So if you don't know that, people are like, why'd he get tagged out? What bad base running? Yo, that third run...
yeah.
Is so much more important than him. So if he can bait them to try and get him out, that secures Rendon being a safe passage home. So they call it baiting him. Chase Headley used to talk about it a lot for the Yankees. Like, you got to bait them so they don't even think about throwing home. And then you just got to get in a rundown long enough so that run at home counts. And it's a strategy. So that's probably why he didn't care.
Yeah, I think that run was gonna score anyways, but Soto insured it.
But it is a strategy that some people might not realize.
I think the other thing with Grisham, I mean, that was a deep single. It was hit pretty hard. He's not gonna throw out the runner from at second. There was a pinch runner, so I mean, the game was going to be tied anyways. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the other thing where it's not like if him fielding that and throwing it could have prevented them from tying it, I think it looks so much worse. But it would have at least been a tied game. Instead, it gives up the run and brutal.
Brutal. He's apparently crying and stuff like that. But all right, that wraps up the first half of the show.
Woo!
The NL Wildcard Recap. Let's move on to the game coming up, Jake, the AL wild card. The Tampa Bay Rays have found themselves in Oakland, California for a game at the Coliseum. This is such an interesting matchup. Two teams with shitty stadiums, a low payroll, and a pitching strategy that is a lot of bullpen and mixing and matching, yet they're both going with traditional starters.
Yeah, Jim, well, you just said someone from the New York Times who gets paid to be a writer, Kepner, called them their cousins from the opposite coasts. They're both frugal with their budget, but they both are like well-run organizations at this point. And yeah, I think it's fun that they're going with their guns.
Sean Manaea versus Charlie Morton.
Whatever we say, it'll be wrong.
Charlie Morton, I know I got that one right.
Nailed it.
So yeah, it's interesting. It's good. I mean, let's just dive right in, Jake. I have some notes here. I mean, okay. Do you have any gut feelings about this, I guess, first?
Well, my first gut question I was going to send to you, and it's kind of the Scherzer debate. Do you think any of these teams have that Scherzer leash? Like, do you think either of these starting pitchers will be allowed to give up three runs in the first two innings?
Yep.
Okay. Both of them?
No. I think Charlie Morton will.
Yeah, I think Morton has more leash than Manaea, right?
He's been a top three pitcher in the American League. He's going to get Cy Young votes.
Yeah.
So Manaea is coming off injury.
And he was a coin flip anyways with Fires.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a little like go even zoom out even more. These two teams have played each other seven times. They were all back in June, mid-June, Jake, or late June. Oakland won the first series in Tampa. They took 2 of 3. Then they had a four-game set in Oakland that they split. None of them were like, all of them were pretty close games. There was one 8-2 game, but the rest were pretty close. Oakland had a walk-off at the Coliseum against the Rays at some point. So that's such a different animal, though. I mean, yeah. Then, like, you don't know what was going on. You don't know who was injured. You don't know what the rest schedule called for. Like, you, it's just such a different animal. So I actually don't put much stock into head-to-head unless it's glaring.
Yeah, and it's postseason baseball is a different sport. I mean, you can almost say it about any sport, but I mean, when when the pitchers would throw ball one in the count last night and it'd be 1-0, you'd hear the crowd like, yes, we got him. We got this fucker. it's a totally different sport. It's awesome. I like both of them, but playoff baseball, you can't do playoff baseball for 162. You'd kill yourself.
you'd kill yourself.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't hold too much merit with that.
Are you shocked, Manaea? Fuck, it's going to drive me crazy.
I'm not. He has been so good that I like it. And I like Fires coming out of the pin better than Manaea too. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't have a ton of reasoning behind it.
I don't think he's going to come out of the pen.
Oh, really? You think they're going to full save him?
I was reading a bunch of articles this morning, and it seems like they got a bullpen that they like.
They do. They very much do. I think you have to come in all hands on deck in case it is, you know, the second inning and Manaea's walking or whatever he's doing. But also coming off the injury, I don't think you want Manaea doing his normal routine and getting loose and all that stuff. So I like it. I'd have to get the get some Rays righty lefty split stuff going on. But I don't know. They pick their guy and roll with it. I'm starting to think this is going to be so much bullpen. I'm starting to think Morton's not going to have leash either.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of bullpen. You got Jesus.
I mean, Morton, Snell, Glasnow, never mind the normal Rays pen.
Yeah, I don't know how much Snell and Glasnow are going to come in. I think they like their like real pen guys to get them through this.
Ooh, I guess that's my first storyline then, because I think you don't want to be the Rays and go down not using Glasnow and Snell, you know?
Like Liam Hendricks can get six outs if they want him to.
Yeah, I don't love them for six out. I like them. I love them for three. I don't like them for six.
I agree with you, but they might ask them for six. But I do agree that you need to just do three. Soria's going to get in there. Petit's going to get in there. I believe like Puck is going to get in there.
Yeah.
And then they have like Jesus Luzardo. Like, I think they like a lot of those guys. So maybe if Manaea is terrible, then Fires comes in. But I think they're going to hope to get five in bullpen or four in bullpen. On both sides. Tampa Bay, I mean, they have a huge bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, of crazy talent.
I just don't know. I for me, if I was a Rays fan, and dude, how good Glasnow has been. If you want to save one for extra innings, if you want to make Snell your Patrick Corbin from yesterday, that you're only going to use him if you need him in extra innings, I'm fine with that. But I think I need two or three on deck, and especially Glasnow, dude. When he's right, that dude's straight unhittable. Straight unhittable. So I don't know. I think I like Morton Glasnow. And yeah, you're probably right. The A's probably want to dodge Fires, but I think you still have to have them ready, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Want to know something cool about Sean Manaea?
I need to know it.
He's come back from injury on September 1st. He made five starts, right? And they've all been good. That's what Bob Belvin said. They're like, every Manaea start has been good. Like, Fires has been our rock, and he's really good at home, but he's had a couple starts that are blips. Manaea hasn't had a blip yet. But I was looking at his game log, and in the five games Sean Manaea pitched for the A's, he has zero runs in the first four innings, Jake. All of them come in the fifth and sixth, so he's been strong right out the gates. And if they get four out of them, they may be like, great.
Yeah.
That's all we wanted. And he hasn't given up a run in the first, second, third, or fourth yet. So that's pretty good. And none of the Rays have faced him.
That's what I was going to say, Jim. I think that's a huge factor.
Darno's 2-for-2. Kiermaier's 1-for-3. And Avisel Garcia's 1-for-3. And those three guys are the only people with at-bats. So watch out for Darno. He's 2-for-2 with the walk. But
I think what's kind of interesting too, Jim, is that the Rays' best player, if you're not familiar with Austin Meadows, he's an awesome ball player. And the fact that they got Meadows and Glasnow for Chris Archer is sinful and will be looked at as one of the worst trades of all time. But anyways, I think with the lefty, Meadows' numbers are a lot worse. His OPS is down about 130 points against lefties. His on-base percentage is .316. So you're neutralizing Meadows and G-Man Choi a little bit, who's been really solid for them lately. And he was on that postseason picture that went viral, which is pretty funny for us as Yankees fans, just because he was kind of like, he was like a, you're going to be off the 40, man. We can't keep you, dude. So it's kind of funny that he's been getting that love. But I think the Rays, they have a lot of like solid righty hitters. Like Avisel Garcia, you mentioned him. He's going to give you a good at-bat. Darnell has had a really solid season. Tommy Pham. So I think it is the lesser of the two evils, and you wonder if that factored into the decision. I don't know.
Yeah, the Rays are like split-proof because they just use their guys crazily.
Right.
Like, their lineup changed with Manaea. Like, you're going to see Pham, Meadows, Garcia. You're probably going to see Aguilar over Choi.
Yeah.
The righty.
Yeah, that's a crazy point.
Wendell, Brasso, maybe. Kiermaier will be in there. He's a lefty, but he's in there for his defense.
Yeah.
Adames. So you'll see a lot of righties. And that may change the way Oakland uses their pen. And they might bring in a lot of their righty relievers right away. Because, like, if they have to go to the pen early, it might be, well, let's bring in a righty reliever for one inning to make them either pinch hit way before they wanted to, or just because they got righties batting.
And it's a good point, Jim, because in a game like this, you're going to see guys pinch hitting. It's do or die. The Rays kind of do that all year, where the A's, I mean, they have their dudes. They're 1-5, 1-6 is pretty locked in. And let's be honest, I feel like we're tiptoeing around it a little bit. The A's are a lot more talented. I mean, Matt Olson, there's an argument that he's one of the best first basemen in baseball. Matt Chapman, there's an argument he's one of the best third basemen in baseball. Marcus Semien, he's going to get MVP votes. Those guys are crazy talented. Never mind the year that someone like Mark Canna has had. Just their lineup is deeper in... How much do you think the stadium's a factor tonight, Jimmy?
Well, there's the stadium itself and the loudness and the drums and the vuvuzelas and stuff like that. There's also the Rays are coming off an exhausting trip, Jake. They had to play the Yankees, Boston, the Dodgers down the stretch. Then they had to fly to Toronto to close out their season. Then they had to fly all the way out to Oakland. So they're kind of on like this whirlwind trip where they haven't seen home or regular routine in a while. That could play a factor. My thing is, Oakland is deeper, like you said. They have a top four. Like, if Charlie Morton needs to just shut down that top four, Semien, Chapman, Olson, Canna, he needs to shut them down. Because they are the dudes. They all have wild card experience from last year. One game, but... it was at Yankee Stadium. So they have the mindset of like, okay, this is what we need has to happen and shit like that. And they all have at-bats versus Morton because Oakland played Houston. Morton was on Houston for a while. So like right. Semien has a .357 batting average against Morton. Profar has a .364. Olson has a .333. These are all in 15-plus plate appearances. Chris Davis has a bad batting average, but he's got two home runs versus Morton. And Matt Chapman has a .294 on base percentage, .200 batting average. But their top five dudes have all had 15-plus plate appearances against Charlie Morton. So it's kind of, on one side of the ball, it's a lot of experience. Oakland has experience in the postseason in a one-game wild card, super small. They have experience against Charlie Morton, right? They're the home team. And on the other side, you have a bunch of Rays with no experience. I mean, Pham, Garcia, and Darnell are the only guys with postseason play before. You got Meadows, all the young guys, dude. Wendell, Brasso, even Kiermaier doesn't have a postseason at bat. And they've never seen Manaea. And they have to fly. So a lot of like... the stats and the anecdotes kind of lead to Oakland being good. Manaea has no experience, though, on Oakland's side. This is his first playoff start ever, and that's a big dude to have no experience. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it does feel like you mentioned experience, but at the same time, like some of the games like A.J. Puck, Lizardo.
The A's pitching is all new. The Rays lineup like is all new.
If the A's lose this game, it's going to be because their young pitchers couldn't handle the stage. That being said, the A's are the favorite in this game, home field, and I think talent-wise. And I think yesterday's game, we said the Nationals were the favorite, but the thing that was literally the wild card was they were just such contrasting styles. And we saw that. I mean, you know, the... Milwaukee threw Woodruff out there, and it was do or die for him basically every pitch, and he was a stud the whole way through. Scherzer got knocked around. It ended up coming around full circle later in the game against Hader. These, the Coastal Cousins, or whatever that phrase was, but it just feels like the A's are the better team. I like the A's more tonight than I liked the Nationals yesterday, and I mean... again, Josh Hader was in with the lead, so that doesn't mean too much. But I think what's the Rays storyline if the Rays win this game?
I think this game may be like 1-0 through 8 innings.
Okay.
I think it may be like a 2-0 win, and it's maybe early runs, and then that's like the game.
Yeah.
And the Rays can win a game like that easily.
Yeah.
So it's really Morton versus the top four for me. Like, that's, I think, the biggest matchup. Can Morton shut down the top four two? I don't know if they'll ask him to do it three times, but see. And then Oakland's rookie pitching, like that dude Puck, he's been good. He is green. So, oh, speaking of, dude, Oakland's wearing the Kelly green uniforms.
Oh, wow.
That's huge.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Don't even come to the stadium, Tampa.
For real. I'm rooting for the Oakland in the same reason I rooted for the Nationals last night. I think it leads to a better divisional series.
And, Jim, that's kind of the thing that just went through my head. I mean, I mentioned Semien Olsen, Chapman. I mean, those guys are absolute studs. I haven't mentioned Ramon Liriano. I absolutely love the way that dude plays. Hopefully he's in the lineup today. But, yeah, the A's got Frankie Montas back off of his suspension with fires. And if Manaea shoves today, that's a guy that you look at as almost a bona fide ace for them. So the A's could be a real scary team.
Montas can't pitch in the postseason, though. I thought if you get suspended, you're ineligible. Like Cano was ineligible when he got suspended for the postseason.
That may be right. I know they made a big deal of it when he came back and he pitched in one of the last regular season games, but that would seem right.
Yeah. Well.
So, yeah, he's not on the postseason. Excuse me. So, yeah. Okay, the A's are terrible. Go Rays.
All right, that ends this one. Thank you guys very much for listening. Like we said, we're going to be doing these. They're available on YouTube after we record it. They're available on Patreon as we record it. You can listen live and have some input in the chat and shit like that. Leave a review if you listen on the podcast app. We appreciate it. We're going to be every day recapping the games that happened the day before, talking about the ones that are coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Subscribe, rate, review. And all that jazz. Mike Ritano with the music today. And always, we'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the baseball. Bye.